But I think the motivated person does not need to be tied to his desk. And sometimes it works against you because now you sort of, in a certain respect, you know, you just shut down and you lose that motivation.
Welcome to the Hired Hot Podcast, your ultimate guide to mastering the complexities of remote work and pushing your career forward.
Whether you're tuning in from the busy streets of Latin America or any corner of the globe, we're here to give you tools and insights to succeed in today's dynamic job market. I'm your host, Gaby Morales.
And I am your co-host, Jess Torres. If you're a recent graduate eager to leave your mark or a seasoned pro looking to redirect your career, you can join us as we explore the endless possibilities of remote work and career growth.
Get ready to unlock your full potential with the Hired Hub podcast.
So picture an office where the walls suddenly dissolve. A team meeting where the sun is rising for one member and setting for another. A business with members that are so far away from another, and yet it not only survives, but actually grows.
If you've been listening to our previous episodes, you may have noticed a common trend with our guests. Most pinpoint the COVID pandemic as the shifting point, the moment they began working remotely. And though the reason to work from home 3 years ago was obvious, now, in 2024, with very few restrictions still standing, there shouldn't be a reason why businesses would prefer to keep workers at home and not at the office where they can be supervised.
And yet, the trend sustains. According to recent studies, the share of employees working remotely worldwide increased in the past 3 years, rising from 20% in 2020 to 28% by 2023.
The percentages vary depending on industries, but the technological field has been one of the quickest to adapt to this work-from-home trend, with an average of 67% of employees reporting to change to a virtual work system since 2020.
That's a lot of people. And though workers are the key characters to revolutionize the way we work, businesses that are able to adapt to new times are also essential to establish a new work culture. So what's really in it for the businesses? Even in recent years, we've seen a new and sustained remote work trend. How are companies adapting and actually growing during this transformation and of traditional office spaces to virtual ecosystem?
To understand this better, we have a very special guest, Kemi Safdie, a business coach and strategist from New York City with more than 30 years of experience managing his own businesses. But before we begin our conversation with him, we want to know from you guys.
We ask you on LinkedIn, which do you think it's the primary benefit that businesses get from shifting to remote work? We have given you four options, and you guys answer in the following order. From most to least voted, first, cost savings with 36%. Second, access to global talent with 35%. Third, more productivity with 26%. And four, more collaboration with 3%. With that surprised me, but the poll clearly indicates that cost savings and access to global talent are the top priorities for respondents, followed by productivity. Collaboration ran the lowest, suggesting it might not be the best pressing at concern from these organizations. But I don't know. What do you think, Gaby, of this poll result?
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. Again, like whenever we shift towards, you know, outside this context of COVID, whenever you see a business shifting towards a remote dynamic, I feel like it's mainly because of cost savings, because of the access to the global talent pool. Of course, it makes total sense that you want to have highly qualified people do the job. And sometimes the local market is not the best option there, because they may be talented, but maybe you can't afford them. So we have to look into an outside talent pool. And then productivity, it does make sense that it's still like up there, because I do feel like people know nowadays that working remotely can offer a lot of benefits to workers. And actually, that's the best policy that you can have as a business. You have a happy employee, you're going to have the work well done. And then I feel like maybe people didn't choose more collaboration, because even if you're at the office or in a virtual space, collaboration is key. So
yeah,
so you're going to have it regardless. So I think that I understand why it's last and why people consider it like last. Today, we want to talk about how businesses benefit from remote work dynamics. And who better to give us insights about how business owners think on the matter than a business owner himself, and on top of that, a business strategist. We want to welcome Kemi Safty, an expert on getting executives out of their comfort zone to see their growth opportunities and focus on the big picture for their businesses. Kemi, we're very happy to have you join us today. How are you?
Great. Very happy to be here.
Thank you, Kemi. So now that we know you've been in the business venture for over 30 years, can you share with us how that journey has been for you?
Sure. So, you know, it's a very interesting journey. Anyone that's in the business world, be it an owner of a company or an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, there's so many ups and downs and challenges in business. And the ability to stay focused is really the key, because, you know, you're always going to have those challenging times. You also need the tools to work with. You know, a lot of times people think they can just go into a business, they see their friend or a relative and they made tons of money. I think it's very easy. It's not so easy. You know, I started out my journey. I was in the retail business. I got into the wholesale business with a friend, and we were in the picture frame business at the time. Went to China, got product. We got the business up to about $12 million and things were going great. And we thought we were like unbelievable, superstar business people. And then all of a sudden, there's no money. There's sales, there's no money. And we're like, what's going on here? And at that point, I got a friend of ours that had got us a business strategist. And we were focusing, and this is the problem I see a lot of times, people look at one aspect of a business. And most of the times it's sales. And you sales. And sometimes you don't realize there's so many aspects to a business. You know, I'm from the States, so I always like to use sports analogies. So in football, in American football, not soccer, in American football, there's offense, defense, and special teams. There's three different aspects. And if you want to win the game, you need to excel in all of those things. And it's the same thing in business. You know, we were focused on sales, and all of a sudden we realized, hey, you know, you brought in 3,000 pieces of an item and you sold the customer 1,500. And no one was focusing on those other pieces to sell. Before you turn around, because you sell, you forget what's in the warehouse. You think your profit margins are X when they're really Y. And a lot of times you need to step back and see, really, am I really excelling in all my aspects of my business? How strong are my strengths? Where are my real weaknesses? Where are my opportunities? Where are my threats? It's called a SWOT analysis, but it's something that I've noticed that it seems so simple to do, but people don't always do it. And part of the reason is they get so caught up in one aspect that they don't realize, hey, there's a lot of other things going on that you think are just going on autopilot, and they're not.
Yeah, sometimes they don't consider they think that revenue is the profit, or they just take out the cost of the product per se, and they don't consider the rest of the overhead that it takes. I see it's a very common mistake.
Yeah. I remember when I was first going in, so a friend told me, oh, you're going to wholesale? I'm going to give you your first lesson. Sales covers everything. Just sell. And to your point, I realized, you know, if someone gets a gash on their leg and they need 12 stitches and they put a Band-Aid, it's not going to help.
It's not going to help. Exactly.
So a business owner has to work towards success, but inevitably has to prepare for failure, right? And I know this could be a tough question to answer, but what has been the best strategy you've found to have your business adapt during changing time?
I think you have to do two things. A, live within the day. You know, it's very important as a business owner or leader, if you have a team or not, if entrepreneur or solopreneur, it's a little bit different. You really have to work within yourself, but you have to live within it that you can't let those challenges get to you too far. That doesn't mean you ignore them, but I've noticed a lot of times what someone does is, let's say they have too much inventory. And again, I'm looking in the business world. Let's say they have too much inventory or they're not marketing enough. Or this. So a lot of times our mind gets to play that narrative all the way to the end. I'm going to go out of business. I don't have this and all that. And then what happens? You lose focus on the present. So you need to try. And guess what? Sometimes when there's no answer, you just have to ride the storm. Everything changes. You know, it's funny. As much as things are different today, they're the same. You know, I'm just, not to get into politics, but I notice a lot of issues that we're having in the States now. We think they're new issues. And then, like, I was watching an episode on YouTube on something, and one of the issues we're going through now was the same thing 20 years ago.
Yeah, it happened before.
It happened before. You think things are new. So in business also, you know, you're going to have down times, and then you're going to think the world's going to collapse. And it's not. The main thing is to, in those challenging times, is to try and develop a strategy as best you can and live within the day so that challenge doesn't overwhelm you and you fall to it.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't say that before. Like, you're right. Like, someone has been there before. Like, I'm not the only person, and I can go back and see what happened. And within your business's ventures, or even for the business, you provide consultancy service. Have you seen cases where fully remote or like hybrid work approaches save costs for businesses and increase efficiency patterns?
So actually, before I answer, I want to go back to what you said before, because it's a very interesting point that, and I wasn't thinking of it. You know what? Everyone's going through what you've gone through.
Yeah.
You're not alone on an island. I was saying to live within the day of your own business, but the truth is, you're right. There's so many people always to reach out to. Everyone's been in your shoes. You always think you're the only guy in it, and you're not. In terms of remote, I've definitely, look, post COVID, you know, the world totally changed. And again, in the States, most people haven't gone back to work full time. Some of the bigger companies have not. But there's definitely been a shift to remote people, especially, you know, it's funny. I myself was looking into it. I was with a client, about 6 months ago, and he needed help. And I reached out to someone that was hiring remote employees. And I said to him, I said, what do you mean? I thought they're in India or in China. He's, what are you talking about? You get people in the same time zone and they're working side by side with you. And I think COVID showed us the opportunity that you can get people to work in your company that don't have to be tied down to a desk. And between me and you, like, I'm in New York. So what's the difference if they're in New York or if they're in Colombia or if they're in Chile? What's the difference? They're there.
They're a call away. Yeah.
They're a call away. They're a Zoom away. They're super talented. I mean, the people are super talented, super qualified. I mean, there's no reason today not to have that hybrid, and you're saving money. I'll ask you a question, because someone posted a very interesting question on LinkedIn. And he said, there's a new dynamic. What happens now when you have a full-time employee in your office? Let's say he's in accounting.
Okay.
And you hire a remote employee to help. And that remote employee is super duper. He's outperforming this guy that's in the office that's probably making triple the amount of money. What do you tell him? Like, how do you handle that? Where a lot of times the remote employee is probably more dedicated because they know that this is it. They're not sitting on YouTube half the day. They're working and they're efficient and effective. So I'm just curious from your perspective, like, how do you handle that dynamic?
Absolutely. Like, that was actually going to be a follow-up question. Like, have you seen cases where the remote worker outperforms traditional in-office employees? For me, I think that it has a lot to do with motivation and to being able to do the job in your terms. Like, the moment that you can set your own times and that you're not being supervised towards the time that you're working, but actually the results that you're giving, I feel like that's a lot more motivating nowadays. And people that don't have to be micromanaged for businesses, that's even more efficient because it means that you can have a manager or a supervisor that can take care of other things and you have a self-sufficient worker. We've been through this topic like in different conversations with the employees specifically, like what are the benefits that you see in working remotely? And I think that we've seen like this trend of being able to do things on your terms without being so supervised. And that is like the biggest motivation at times.
Also, the office, people might get distracted. I think in my case, I do like working from home just because I have the benefit of literally focusing on my work. Whether if I just go to an office, I can just lose track or just get distracted sometimes, not all the time, of course, but with people around you, like things happen, you know? But on remote work, you are focused on your work.
Yeah, you touched on a very big pet peeve of mine when it comes to leadership and micromanaging. You know, if first of all, I'll tell you, I work in an office every day, but the fallacy to, especially today, the fallacy of you have to be in the office, you know, if you're a designer or a merchandiser, you need to see samples and stuff. That's another. But if you're a salesperson or you're in accounting or in billing, the fallacy that you need to be in the office is it's so antiquated, so old. And what happens is if a good leader, really, if you're really good, you don't have that much interaction with your people. And it sounds a little funny, but, the leader of Best Buy, I was watching, Best Buy is a big electronics company in the States. So they got a new CEO. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, he came from a totally different industry, totally. And he was actually afraid to take the job. And he took it and he said, you know what I learned? I learned I don't need to be the smartest guy in the room. You know, if you have talented people with you, the best thing to do is stay out of their way. Like me, I have a team I work with in my full time. And I don't interact with them a lot. Here's the test. If you're good, you're good. You're going to do. And if you're like, to your point, if you're motivated, guess what? If you're not motivated and you're at your desk, you're not doing anything. You know, the statistics, 60, 70% of people aren't engaged. Either you're on your phone or, to Jess's point, you're talking to some people in the office about the game last night, about where you're going for dinner and this and that. And the truth is there's probably, again, for the motivated person, there's a stronger case to say, hey, I do it on your time. I need to do X. Does it matter if I did it in 3 hours or 6 hours?
Yeah.
And if I did it in 6 hours, maybe I did it better because my mind was, I wasn't worrying about my boss coming in every 10 minutes and saying, hey, where are we? Did you do it? Why didn't you do it? You know, the argument could be said that you probably, and again, it's a big argument. You're better off in the office, out of the office. But I think the motivated person does not need to be tied to his desk. And sometimes it works against you because now you sort of, in a certain respect, you know, you just shut down, you know, and you lose that motivation.
Absolutely. It's a controversial topic because, again, a lot of people, like specifically like business owners, a lot of times think that they need to keep their workers in the office because they need to be supervised. And, you know, depending on the line of work and, of course, the level of professionalism of the team, sometimes you will have to have them there to know exactly what they do. But the thing about remote working is that a lot of the audience, a lot of the remote work population is professional. It's qualified employees, you know, people that have studied a career, that are prepared to do things a certain way and that can do the work on their own if you give them the chance. And again, like you say, that leadership part of management, like sometimes you just have to let people do their job because they're probably going to be doing it better than you once they know what they have to do.
So I think there's definitely a fear of, you know, that remote employee. A lot of times, you know, people are so set in their ways and they don't realize the advantage of, but guess what? I mean, look, let's call a spade a spade. At the end of the day, you want to save money. You could save a significant amount of money, get people that are very qualified and talented for a fraction of the cost, and they have more motivation. Guess what? They have more motivation because they know this is it. If they don't do this and they don't perform, they're out pretty quickly because they'll get someone else. and they're not as tied down to them. You know, when someone's in the office, you're a little bit more, it's much harder to fire someone in person than remotely via somebody else.
Absolutely. Talking about how remote work can save money for businesses. Kemi, I read an article from Fortune magazine the other day. It said, the headline said, millennials are over the American dream of hard work and big pay. And it pretty much explained that most of young employees would accept an up to 20% pay cut for better work-life balance. And actually, many businesses are seeing it as a way to save costs and reinvest in growth, or in profit, of course. My question is, do you think that's a smart move for remote businesses? Like, do you think that those work from home benefits are actually a sustainable measure to keep people engaged in the work that they do, even if their pay rate may be below the market average?
First of all, I definitely think, like you said, definitely depends on the industry, but let's say in a general. So it's interesting today. I don't know how it is in your part of the globe, but like the big buzzword today with the millennials is side hustle. Everyone has a side hustle, which leads me to believe that's why they're willing to take that 20% cut and work from home. I think with the right boss and the right vision, it definitely can work, because this new employee, so to speak, that wants that work-life balance, when you take that rock off his head of being that 9-to-5 in the office, I think, and again, if it's done properly, I think they'll be more productive. So you're not saving money, so to speak. So let's say whatever it is, you're not saving that 20%. I think you're increasing, because he's going to be more productive, and that's going to add more to your bottom line.
Okay.
In a certain respect, by giving him the freedom, you're going to earn more money. Forget the savings. Let's say you gave him the same amount of money. Just giving him the freedom, even if you didn't give him the 20% pay cut, I think by him having that freedom, he'll be motivated to do a better job.
Okay.
Also, an important topic to talk is about the cost of living, regardless of where you are. It's increasing. And just last year, inflation, it's a major cities rose, but an average of 7.4%, according to the Economist Group. And so even though work-life balance, it's important, a lot of people also look for economic security, I think. And for those who are ambitious, they may monetarily prefer the work-life balance. But lower than market pay rate policy might not secure long-lasting employees for businesses. I think actually, it can actually establish a higher turnover dynamic within companies, which impact businesses and overall profitably, because at the end, companies have to spend more on retraining. But yeah, as you said, it also depends on what company or just what industry you are. And that actually brings us to another interesting topic, employee turnover for remote businesses. There are many reasons as to why there could be turnover in a company. But something really interesting I saw from a recent trend studies is that turnover, it's more common in younger generations and in remote work settings. So what advice would you give to a company owner to understand why they're experiencing this high turnover?
You know, I think a very important thing, and studies like your study, the Forbes study, this study, I was once at, I worked for a company called Li & Fung, and they sent us to a management conference, and I'm going back, got to be 15 years ago. And they had a survey also that white collar workers versus blue collar, like construction and stuff. Construction workers, their number one thing is money. White collar workers, money was like 14th on the list of like what they wanted, freedom, this, that. I think most of the time, the reason for turnover is not money, because even with the economy, and it's insane, it's like, you can make $18 million and you still can't, it's crazy, the economy. But even with that, I think a person wants to be happy in what they're doing. And I'll tell you, most of the time when there's that turnover, if it's a remote employee, if it's not, if it's someone that I guarantee you, 90 to 95% of the time, it's the environment. And by the way, a remote employee, and a remote employee also, I could, if you're working for me, I could call you 78 times and what's, you know, guess what? You can harass someone just as easily remotely as you can in the office. So I would tell you is, and I've seen it, by the way, I've seen people that aren't leaving their jobs that have gotten a lot more money because they're happy. So I would say really most of the time it will not boil down. The turnover is, and again, we come back to leadership. We come back to leadership. Are you doing your job to make your people happy? Are you giving them the tools they need and the space they need? And that can even remotely here. You can have, you may not have your space if you're working for some lunatic that's calling you 17 times a day.
Yeah.
So the short answer would be, I would say that the leader is not doing his job in making his people happy.
Okay, so they have to look within.
100%.
Not just throw money on the problem, because like you say, a lot of times it's not about money. Sometimes if the business is a mess, you can offer how much money you want to the employee, and they're still not going to stick around. They're still may say like, yeah, sure. And they're still going to be looking for options outside. It makes total sense. I'm a bit torn about this subject because I did see varied opinions on, you know, regarding statistics related to the turnover for these kinds of remote businesses. Actually, the Harvard Business Review, they quoted a 2022 paper from the National Bureau of Economic Research. They say that work from home benefits, if it's done right, can help decrease turnover in businesses by up to 35%. So I'll actually correlate that to the work-life balance that a lot of young people have more present nowadays. I believe that if those benefits are real, if you can work in flexible hours comfortably from the safety of your home and where people value results above assistance and supervision, it seems like a win-win policy for all. Because first, the employers are getting the job they need done. And then the employees are doing the job under their terms and more comfortably. So it's crazy, these two statistics, that I do think that they can coexist. Like, there is a high turnover and there is there's a high turnover for young employees nowadays, but I do feel that in a lot of it makes sense what you say, that it's because of the environment, that a lot of these businesses are going into remote dynamics and they're not considering everything that they need to consider to provide a positive environment for them to stick around, and therefore they quit, or they have to be let go. And then if you find the right place with the right benefits where you're appreciated, then that's where you stick around. And those are the businesses that are actually thriving in this context and under these circumstances.
100%. And you know, it's funny, I think it's not, like you were talking about the higher rate of turnover in the remote world.
Yeah.
But it and again, just to your point, it's in every world.
It's in every world.
It doesn't be, and I think, and you guys could probably speak better to this than me. I think that the employer is not fully understanding the remote dynamic, and they need to get a better understanding of that and giving the people the space. Some guys may think they need to be more on top of them because they're not in the office. And
yeah,
and they need to have a better understanding of the dynamic.
Absolutely. I feel like that is a big point that a lot of people don't want to let go of. Because like you say, a lot of things are the same with a different kind of look or from a different angle. 100 years ago, 50 years ago, they thrived on high supervision, you know, on a lot of supervision. And now they have to let go of that notion that they need to let people do their job under their own terms and still get the job done right.
You know, it's funny. They say perception is reality, right? Everything is really how we perceive things. You know, I could tell you this is a bottle. I could tell you it's a car. What do I see in it? And it's funny because I'm thinking about it now. At the end of the day, I'm in my office. And you're in your office down the hall, so to speak, and someone's in there. So what's the difference if my office is down the hall or if it's in Columbia? You know what I'm saying? How often do you really interact, even in my office, how often do you actually interact face-to-face with people? Most of the time you're picking up the phone and saying, hey, you got this, you saw this, you did. Maybe you interact with people aside from schmoozing because you're not in the mood to do your work. How often do you really interact? So what's the limits of your offices down the hall or in Colombia?
Yeah. And it even happens in the virtual world because I have remote work and still there are a lot of meetings that I have that I'm like, this could have been an email. You could have just texted me this or a WhatsApp message and I would have read it and I would have done my job. But why did you need to meet with me to tell me this? So it still happens. It's because of that habit that we have that we feel like we need to say certain things face to face or even in a Zoom call, which is the closest thing to face to face in this virtual world. It's letting go of that habit, definitely.
Letting go, yes.
Yeah. Kemi, still in this topic of, you know, turnover in this kind of market, in this world of remote work, both businesses and employees operate under unique conditions, creating an even playing field in many aspects, you know, using that sports analogy. Businesses expect productivity, of course, while workers also seek more from employees beyond basic standard benefits. Companies taking the most advantage from remote workers often seek highly qualified professionals who are selective about their career development. And moreover, those businesses hiring entirely remote teams can tap into an international talent pool, bringing diverse and sometimes unknown customs and habits to the table. There's a lot of things involved here. So given these circumstances and other uniques to the remote work, how do you think businesses can attract and retain top talent in a high demand and high competition global job market?
You know, I'll tell you, a big buzzword today is in leadership is empathy.
Okay.
A lot of times they have these buzzwords, but you have to go take it another level. You know, I think the first thing you need to do is see who the person is. I hired you. Oh, hi, Gabby. I hired you to work in the accounting department. Okay, here's your job. Do this and have a nice day. Okay. But now, if I sit now first and talk, who are you? What do you enjoy? What do you like? Are you married? I'm not married. I have a friend. I have a this. You know, once you get a talk to the person, you know, a lot of times also, guess what? We feel like employees and employers. You're like, you're a robot. Oh, you work for me. I'm going to program you to do this and this. So I think the first thing is talk to the person, learn who they are, what they're about. Have conversations. Hey, how was the weekend? Where'd you go? Oh, you went here? I did this. You know, when you break down that barrier and you see the human beings on the other side with life, and especially, you know, the benefit of remote employees, like you said, also aside from business, you learn about different cultures. Oh, we went to this in this park. We went here. We did that. I think when you develop a relationship, a personal to a point, obviously, you know, you're remote, but when that person sees that you, hey, this guy really cares about me. He asked about my weekend, you know, and you have more of a friend to friend to a point relationship. So that gives you, again, you have that feeling of satisfaction. You're happy in your space. So now if someone comes and says to you, oh, I'm going to give you another job for 30% more. I don't want it. What do I want it for? I'm happy where I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it circles back a lot to what we've been talking about also, like such as work-life balance and competitive compensations and benefits and what you were talking about, leadership. But there are also valuable aspects. Like there are three that I have in my mind that I can mention. One, it's cultivating a strong and diverse remote work culture. The other one could be like providing work growth and development opportunities. It's okay, like we all have to grow. And also using the proper tools to connect and just organize the business. Like systems are organized and meant to be in a certain way. So it's better when we understand and we can manage the things that we have access to in the better way. So I think those key aspects are really important. For example, for the strong remote culture, you need more communication. It's because you have language barriers because you're talking with someone from Africa probably or from India or even Latin America. We have different countries that are totally different cultures, you know? So I think that, it's really important, like, to have that on mind. And also regarding providing growth and development opportunities, a lot of professionals feel really motivated when they are provided skills training, mentorships, career advancement. Like, it fulfills you and it makes you believe that you have a higher purpose, you know, and workers that can learn how to do their job better. I just don't think it hurts a business, you know. So those are three main key aspects that I think that also can make your business, like, you know, attract top talent.
I think, you know, I what sticks out to me the most is, you're right, which I didn't think of, is it's growth, right? People want to know that they have an opportunity to grow. It, you know, recently one of the people I work with on my team, they wanted a raise. Nothing, not a big raise. I think it was like 2%. Why? Because I want to feel like I'm growing. Yeah. I want to feel like I'm growing my position. And it's a good point when someone knows, hey, you know what? I'm not hiring you remotely to work 6 months and you're out. I really want to build you. I want to give you those opportunities to grow. I agree with you. I think that that's a big plus.
It fosters that feeling of wanting to stay. Like, why do I want to go somewhere else where here I feel like I can grow in my position? I can learn more. I can learn how to do my job better. Like, I can specialize here. Like, why would I want to go elsewhere?
Yeah. And so we've been talking about how remote work can save costs for businesses and the unique challenges that it represents for companies. I want to bring another topic to the table, and remote work as a competitive advantage for evolving businesses. So Kemi, how do you think that remote work helps companies to innovate and stay competitive in today's job market?
You know, first of all, I'll tell you, going back to different cultures, you know, everyone's trained in a certain perspective. You know, in America, you're trained one way to look at this and this or whatever it is. So I think one opportunity for growth and expansion is different cultures and different visions. And again, going back to leadership, if you're giving the people the opportunity and you're showing them that, but I think the different cultures allow for different perspectives, different mindsets, which can help a lot with growth in an emerging company.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel like local talent is great. It's always, you know, amazing, but being able to pick members from an international pool, it can give you a set of fresh eyes. A fresh set of eyes, I think that's the saying, and new ways to tackle the same old problems. And whereas you've been trying to figure this out for a long time for your business, maybe someone else that has a different upbringing and education about the same field, they can look at the problem differently and they can give you a solution because they are coming from the outside. They come from a different, there are many ways to skin a cat. And even if you study the same career here or in America and USA, it can be different. Like, the studies, the education, like the theory that you learn here may be different from there. So maybe you look at that problem, you have someone different look at that same problem, and they might be able to figure it out quicker or more easily because they're fresher to it.
Sure.
Diversity can lead to a culture of creativity, I also think, and collaboration where ideas can flourish without the limitation of physical proximity, which is what we were saying. Like, not always you need to be like having a 3-hour brainstorm session in an office, no, expecting results. You know, you can
sure.
be,
yes.
You can take a break and then you can be at your home in Chile or in Colombia. And then you go, you look outside the window, and that's where sometimes inspiration comes from things that are not even related to your job, because you learn how to do things. You get ideas from how things work elsewhere, and then you can look at those things. And I feel like even that space, the fact that we're in different spaces in the world and that we can see things differently, it provides more opportunity for creativity. And then on top of that, I believe that working remotely opens the opportunity to take risks and explore innovation solutions without the fear of failure, because it's still a very new field. Like, it's still very new. People that venture into remote business, they have to be willing to take risks and to do things differently, because even though it's still business and the art of business has existed through, you know, thousands of years. The fact, the moment that you put into the mix the remote aspect, it just gives you like so many different outcomes. It can give you so many different outcomes. So you have to be willing to fail, and you have to be willing to risk and to try different things.
What's the risk?
Doing things differently. I feel like, again, that part of giving more liberty to your employees, I feel like that's important. Again, when you're coming from a mindset or from the experience that you maybe have, businesses that have worked with, you know, a workforce with a physical workforce, then it's hard to let go of the notion of that and say, let me take that risk and let me see how people can do the job without having to micromanage them. It's usually a very, it feels like a steep fall because it's something that you haven't done before. So that's the new part of it.
My mother always says, big risk, big return. Small risk, small return. So you got to take the shot.
Absolutely. With that, with just different ways of doing things, because again, you may come from a perspective that you've been doing this for the same process and it's worked for you for so many years. But then someone else comes in and tells you, I think you can do it differently and faster and quicker. And you're going to be like, no, why break it? Well, it's working. Why do I leave it there? But sometimes you have to take that risk. Sometimes, you know, the return can be bigger than the investment that you make. So a lot of times you just have to let people work on the ideas that they bring to the table.
Actually, you know what? I'll throw that question back at you. My business is successful. I'm doing whatever. $30 million a year, have a great team. Why should I switch? What would you answer me? Why should I get remote employees? If my team is doing good, my business is doing good, why should I hire?
If it's working, why change it?
Yeah.
Well, in these studies that I saw, it says that remote work, and again, it doesn't apply to every industry. You have to be conscious of that. It depends on the industry. Like, for example, like technology is one of the industries that has done that quickest change shift into remote work. Like I was reading like 67% of the technology workforce have now shifted towards a remote or hybrid dynamic. So if that is your field, I think it's inevitable because at the end, the market of employees is going to prefer that. So if you don't change that, you're going to have a lot of employees that don't want to go into the office and that eventually will want to go with other companies. So even if it's working right now, I think that it's important to look at the trends for your industry and see if you need to start preparing for those changes that are coming.
So it's funny. It actually goes back to what we were saying in the beginning of looking at the big picture. And seeing
absolutely
what's down the road and seeing, hey, am I really utilizing my strength? Where are the potential weaknesses? It's looking at that vision and seeing, hey, look what's coming. You know, it's very interesting. I don't know you guys. It's probably before your time. I don't know if you had a company called Kodak. Actually, go back. Forget Kodak. You remember BlackBerry? Okay, these guys were innovators in their industries. And you know what happened? They didn't look ahead. Kodak, guess what? Kodak came out with the first digital camera. Okay? And they decided not to launch it because they were afraid it was going to hurt their other business. And they didn't look and see, hey, wait a minute. Let's look and see. MySpace. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember MySpace. Yeah. MySpace or Facebook came out and they said, you know, we're going to put social media on smartphones. And MySpace said, no one's ever going to do that. No one's going to be able to work on social media on a cell phone. And they didn't have that vision. So to your point, you know what? Right. Especially well in the tech world, if you're not jumping on the remote employee bandwagon, you're already behind the times. I bet you the question is where studies are showing 20% of companies are going remote. That's when you should start saying, hey, that 20% is going to be 50 before you turn around. Yeah. And that's going to be 50 before you turn around. And then you're going to be behind the eight ball and you're not going to get qualified people.
Yeah. And nowadays times change so fast that kind of trends can really take over in a year. Like we saw it with AI, like 2 years ago, no one was talking about AI and now it's everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Everyone uses AI. So if you're not using AI, you're falling back. Like, you're behind. So it's the same thing. Like, maybe it's working for you right now, but I think that every business should always be thinking about what's coming ahead and really what are the trends for the future.
Yeah. Also, it's important to have in mind, like, why are they going remote? Like, is this saving me time, money, space? Like, just the fact of you having a presence space, like an office, like, how much does that cost you?
That's true. Totally saving a lot of money.
Yeah, like power or even water. I don't know, like a lot of things that can come, like
a rent. You can get a space half the size.
That's the good thing about working remote. It's like it will save you a lot of money. But what you said before was right. Like, I have to think before doing it and just make the math. Like, hey, grab a pencil and it's like, hey, this is costing me this, this and that. And just also think about all of the benefits that could be for me. Like, I could have being remote. Or if someone wants to make a change, like, you can start doing it, like, slowly. Like, no, let's hire some people remote and then, or hybrid, I don't know. Like, I think a hybrid remote work that also can work. Like, it has to be about thinking for the future in the sense of, yes, living the day, but also staying ahead of the game. Like, this could change another day. What if we have another pandemic, you know? Like, that's really something that we can think about.
Yeah, I remember it happened I think the last job I had before shifting towards remote work, which actually I was working, which actually was with the pandemic. I had a job that for a long time I told my boss, I can do this from home. We could prepare to do this from home. And he was like, no, I need you to come into the office. It was radio production. And I would have to prepare the scripts and look for the guests and invite them. I could do all of that from the comfort of my home. And he would insist, no, you have to come into the office to do the job. And then the pandemic, began. And we had like an initial downfall because they never prepared for a scenario like that. Not of a pandemic, but actually having to shift towards a hybrid or remote dynamic. So it was a big pitfall at the beginning. And then we were able to pick up again because we learned quickly that, yes, we could have done this job all along from home.
And here we are.
Yeah, it really just takes at looking at things a little bit broader, with a broader view, because effectively a lot of times you can do things differently if you're just like thinking ahead.
100%.
Yeah. We're ready to wrap up. But before we do, I want to ask you one last question, Kemi. And it's pretty much to summarize everything that we've talked about today. Let's say that you are providing guidance to a client that wants to have their business take that leap into this new frontier of remote work. What advice would you give them on their journey ahead?
So the first thing I would say is, you know, they have a famous saying, the numbers don't lie, right? As much as emotion is a factor in business, and sometimes you have to go with your gut, I would look at statistics and say, hey, listen, this is what's happening in these industries. This is 60% remote. This is 70. This is 10. This is a trend that's coming. So the first thing I would say is look at the numbers. Let me go a step before that. We're going on the assumption that he's looking to either get new workers and we're coming up with this suggestion. The first thing I would do is let's look at the numbers and statistics and see how this is an uptrending business, uptrending trend in hiring employees. The second thing I would say is, you know, slow and steady wins the race. As much as big risk, big return, I'm not going to tell you overturn your entire staff and get remote people. Hey, try one or two. Understand the dynamic. See how it works. And guess what? Maybe it's for you, maybe it's not for you. But you know what? You don't know anything till you try it. You got to try it. And the trends are showing you. Look at the stats. The millennials want to work from home. They want to take a 20% pay cut, let's say, to have a work-life balance. So anyone you're going to bring into the office for a 9-to-5 is probably not going to last that long. Not going to last that long. So you're better off going, and that's what I would say, statistics and slow and steady.
Yeah, and though COVID presented many businesses with a swing or swim scenario, I think the best approach now for business is to thoroughly plan out and prepare for a change like this. You know, as a company, you should be able to prioritize communication and transparency, investing also in the right technology. But most importantly, I would highly recommend working from the very beginning of on a mentally of autonomy and trust. I think that's really important. Remote work thrives when members feel trusted to manage their own time and tasks, you know, like that life-work balance that we've been talking about. And by being a leader who can empower your team and recognize their contributions, you can create positive and productive work environment. I think that's really important that we can just think about it and highlight. It's a really important thing that we can have in mind.
It's funny. I always say at the end of the day, always as a leader, look in the mirror. If your team is not happy or they're not engaged, or it's not the money, it's you.
Look at what you're doing. Exactly.
Yep, 100%.
It's not only for the business owner. Sometimes you already have a big enough business that you have business owner, you have an executive team, and then you have like the managers. You have to be looking at top management.
100%. And they have to look at themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a quality of a good leader, actually. Like being able to be self-critical, I would say. Like to look to be accountable.
Yes.
Because you can't expect accountability from your team and then not make yourself accountable. Kemi, we want to thank you for joining us today. You've been an amazing guest and hope you can come back soon. Thank you very much.
We also want to thank you, our listeners, for staying to the very end of this episode from the Hired Hub. Whether you're a business owner considering remote work as the next step for your company or a job seeker navigating the remote job market, remember that the future, it's full of possibility.
Embrace those opportunities, adapt to the challenges, and most importantly, follow us on social media so you don't miss any of our conversations. We launch a new episode every Tuesday. We're on Spotify, YouTube, and any other podcast platform.
This is Jess.
And this is Gabby. That wraps another episode of the Hired Hub podcast. We hope you found today's discussion empowering and insightful. Remember, success in the world of remote work is within your reach, and we're here to support you every step of the way.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more expert advice and engaging conversations. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to help us reach more people who can benefit from the Hired Hub podcast.